This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, two in the books, one to go. Final hour of the show starts right now in The Usual Suspects on an FAF Friday in the big city. It's Barry and myself, Delhead Hour number one, Aaron Raybould finishing up for us before he gets into the blitz. Nick, not on the schedule today, and as we mentioned, is going to follow the producer schedule for a while to be safe and not be out and about too much, even though he's essential. We miss him, but we appreciate even more that he is staying safe. So with that being said, before we get it going, we want to make sure that you have the opportunity to, you know, get out and about when the time is right. You can take the family to the movies on us. Actually, you can do it from the comfort of your very own home. ESPN 97.5 wants to hook you up with a family movie pack with two digital movie codes, one for the adults, one for the kids. Enjoy Rogue Warfare, The Hunt, and Sonic the Hedgehog starring Jim Carrey. If you go to ESPN975.com and register to win, you have a chance to get those movies and win your own movie pack right now. So check it out, ESPN975.com. Again, just another reason why you should be on that website on a daily basis. Barry, you back?
I am back. That was weird, dude.
Damn Matt Perrault. He just always has a way of just trying to rub people over here the wrong way.
Did you hear it, or was it only in my ears?
I was only in your ear. I didn't hear it. I just was. We were talking, and then I was answering, and you weren't hearing me, and I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, I just started hearing some guy screaming at me. I was like, "What the hell is that?"
No, oh, it was definitely. Then it was Matt Perrault. Yep.
Yeah, it got weird, but yeah, I'm back. Hey, I wanted to tell you. Remember a while back, Demetrius got us that care package of stuff, and in it, he gave me a freeze-dried ice cream to try. Do you remember that?
Okay. Yes, I do remember that. I remember seeing it, yes.
And I finally, last night, got around to eating it and making a video, because, of course, I had to record me trying it. This is the first time I've ever eaten anything freeze-dried. Have you ever had any freeze-dried food before?
I think maybe when I was a kid, but I don't remember. I think there was some, and I want to say, obviously, with Houston and the space program and things like that. But I want to say we did a field trip one time when we were dealing with what astronauts may or may not eat that we might have, but I don't remember for sure.
Well, it wasn't bad. I'm not going to lie. When you first bite it, it's hard as a rock. It's like I chipped a crown. I chipped a crown. But
Aaron Raybould, please, and thank you. Continue, Barry.
That's what you're going to get as a drop? Really?
Okay. In its entirety, yes.
Grow up, Joel.
me.
But it wasn't too bad. The ice cream itself didn't taste like ice cream, but the little, cuz it was an ice cream sandwich, the little cookies, they weren't bad. It had a
But I have so many questions. It's not cold, right?
No, it's not cold.
And then my next question, which you alluded to, was then it has to taste spot on for me to even consider it, and you're saying it doesn't.
It doesn't taste exactly like ice cream. The cookies, like the outer part of the sandwiches, the chocolate part, tasted like the chocolate part of a regular ice cream sandwich. The inside did not, and I went into details that I can't on air. Of course, when I did the video, I cursed, but It doesn't taste as good. The what's supposed to be the vanilla ice cream, not as good. Not as good.
So basically, it's like eating a generic store brand of a cookie. Like instead of eating an Oreo, you're eating the store brand version of an Oreo, where you know it just doesn't taste exactly the same.
Probably not a bad analogy. Yeah. It was. I was surprised. I did give it a 7 out of 10 just because like the aftertaste isn't bad. And it tastes, by the time you're done, you feel like you ate an ice cream sandwich. But it's just so weird. Like, it's just, I don't know. It was a weird experience.
So you're telling me you had this thing. Did you run out of your nutty bars last night or something?
No. I still have like 8 of those, which I really need to just sit down and eat all 8 of them at once.
Did you consume more of something based on the lack of power last night when things get a little stressful, did you have the munchies?
No, but I was. It was about dinner time anyway, so I just made, you know, I mean, the fridge was, everything was in there was still cold, so I just made some sandwiches and opened up the bag of Cool Ranch Doritos and went to town.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, I have a couple of games on my phone, including Spades and Blackjack, so I just played Spades against the computer and ate Doritos. I watched
Tiger Woods in the 1997 Masters.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's fantastic. The fact that it was standard def instead of high def.
Oh,
but it
yeah.
was. But oh my God, seriously, he looks totally different. The fact that he was like rail thin and wearing clothes that Nike hadn't gotten a chance to like tailor make clothes for him yet.
Yeah.
So, and also it was a different era when that kind of baggier, oversized look was in. But the fact that the difference between Tiger now and then, when Fluff was his caddy. And I think Fluff didn't get enough credit for being a veteran caddy that knew everything about the tour and major tournaments and walked him through. But the thing that was the most incredibly noticeable to me was he had fun the entire round. They were laughing after every hole, after every mm-hmm. big. He was so much more like Captain emotional Luke's. on the shots that he made. But like if he scrambled and made a par, he was, I mean, elated, and then they were joking between the green and the next tee box and all these things, and you're like, wow, that's when Tiger didn't realize it was a business and how stressful it could be, and he was just enjoying the game.
Outside of his back issues and physical health, and then of course the sex scandal stuff, what was the bigger impact and loss in Tiger's career? Was it Fluff or was it Butch Harmon?
It was Elon.
You think so?
I think there's nothing that any golf person – Tiger Woods is so soundproof in terms of his – between his ears, his golf swing, his knowledge of course management, the game itself. I don't think Butch Harmon or anybody else – that's why for a lot of years he didn't have a swing coach. The biggest factor that had any kind of negativity that cost Tiger Woods was losing his wife and getting caught in that sex scandal. If that doesn't happen, there's no doubt in my mind – he's already surpassed Jack Nicklaus for majors. He's already become the all-time winningest player in the history of the game. I think he's tied it now. But I think the single greatest negative episode in Tiger's career was the whatever you call it, the nine iron to the fire hydrant in the back window and all that. Losing his wife and the fallout from that. Was the downfall of Tiger Woods' career in terms of being the greatest of all time.
I would be interested to see what he was like before and after his swing coach. Or, before and after Butch Harmon. Here you go. So Butch Harmon, 96 to 2003, he had 8 majors, won in 24 starts, never missed a major, 34 titles. Mm-hmm. And 127 starts. Then he went to Hank Haney, who that's not too shabby, but 6 major wins and 23 starts, missed 2 majors, 31 titles and 93 starts. So a slight dip, but not significant. But once he got to like Sean Foley and Chris Como.
Yeah, but again, factor in when he went through the sex scandal and the divorce, and I'll tell you that was worth at least the 2 that Haney was behind him on. And then had a lot to do with him eventually. And again, then from a health standpoint, it's always great if you're Butch Harmon to get him early in his career instead of, you know, the second half of his career when your health isn't as great and you have more physical issues because of the wear and tear.
Okay. The infidelity scandal was 2009.
Uh-huh.
And Hank Haney was his coach until 2010. And then he switched to Sean Foley in 2010. And then
And I think the other thing that factors into that, and I read Hank Haney's book after he got done with Tiger. And I think the other thing that factors in is what I was talking about, even what you saw with Fluff. You know, nowadays, Tiger's relationship, even with it with Steve Williams, was it's all business. It's all about Tiger. And if he needs you, he'll ask you. And I think the same thing would be said about his coaches, where because of his success, because of his resume, because of his overall ego got getting bigger with every win. He was different with Haney and or anybody else than he would have been with Fluff and with Butch, because he was learning. He was raw. He was naive about so many things, and he needed them more than maybe later in his career he felt like they needed him. He was just kind of taking them along for the ride, and if they could help from, you know, here or there, he'd ask them for that help.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I didn't know. I always felt like I kind of fell out of favor. Well, I didn't fall out of favor, but I just stopped watching golf somewhere around the time that Butch Harmon stopped being his swing coach. And I felt like that it was a different Tiger, but he still maintained a pretty high level of play, even with Hank Haney.
The fact that he was able to win the Masters last year with his physical limitations, mm-hmm. and how much he had fallen off, is a testament to just golf alone, how phenomenally skilled he is in every aspect of the game. He's like your baseball five-tool player.
Yep, pretty crazy.
And I think Brother Bear tweeted us and asked if we miss it. I missed the Masters this week. That's why I watched it last night, aside from there not being any sports to watch otherwise. But much like Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving and all the different holidays, Masters week to me, and I think a lot of people, even if you're not a big-time golf fan, well, I'll tell you what, Masters week, there's nothing like it. I'm very disappointed. I miss it. So that's just Brother Bear's tweet. Okay, we'll continue to roll on as we get through the final hour of the show and get you ready for the Blitz and then the weekend. Lots more to get to, and if you want to join us, we're here for you. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sharara.
Parents are upset these days. One parent says she need to get compensated for having to teach her kids at home. Ain't this what you're supposed to be doing for free anyway? She said because she's doing the teacher's job. We do parents' jobs from 8 to 3:30 every day. You'll never see us complaining. Now it's time for the parents to execute the I do, you do, we do. Two kids y'all having problems with trying to homeschool. Imagine 35 in one class when all of them acting crazy. That's our life. Now you see what's really going on. Funny how they phone work all of a sudden when they trying to contact me on how to do a lesson. When it was Houdini impossible to get in contact with them all last semester. Or how the teaching tables have turned. I ought to go do a full observation while they trying to teach their kids. Ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. They're gonna ask me how do they teach something they don't know the answers to. Just like teachers do. Use the answer key. So bro, how I'm gonna teach my kid this? I ain't certified. A lot of teachers ain't certified. And while you're teaching your kids, don't forget to take your attendance. Don't sit down either, because that's a write-up. Mr. Bro, I don't know how y'all do this. A lot of liquor and download the Bible app. Y'all parents out there need to be writing your teachers a formal apology right now. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Homeschool major, give it to me.
And there's our comedian of the week, Eddie B, on Rapid Fire, so it seemed. As our comedian of the week, Barry gave me the backstory in hour number one, funny dude, Cinderella story. But good clips there. If you missed any, 115, 215, 315, ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab for the suspects at the top of the page. When the menu drops down, check out the clips. And like I said, on the 15 of every hour of the three-hour show, you can catch some Eddie B.
Yes, do it.
Barry. Okay, so, Barry, here's a couple things. If you are looking for entertainment this evening, though I know you're not much on these replays and things like that, a little side bit tip of information for all you Kool-Aid drinking Red Rowdies and other Rockets fans from the Clutch City days. NBA TV at 7 o'clock tonight will replay Game 7 of the 94 NBA Finals between the Rockets and the Knicks.
Mm. Okay.
So, at least there's a Rockets twist, and it was a happy ending, so there's a lot of reasons why you might peep that tonight.
I mean, we kind of already know what's going to happen.
Well, I get that. But again, you relive yesteryear and soak up one of the glory days moments of your favorite basketball team. Unless you've jumped off the Rockets bandwagon, too, and you're like a fan of the King or something.
No, I'm not off the Rockets bandwagon. I'm very anti.
Chad Brown's still there, so if you want to jump off that bandwagon, too, I'll allow it.
I'm very anti-rewatching old sports. That's just me, though. It's a personal thing. I don't... Yeah, can't do it. But
Masters replays are on right now, too, if you want to watch that.
Well, it wouldn't be a rewatch for me, because I couldn't even tell you who won year to year, because I didn't watch it. So I could go back and watch.
Well, check it out. This one's going to kind of surprise you, I think, because we've done a lot of talking recently about ESPN trying to retool Monday Night Football, the pursuit of Peyton Manning, Romo, all these things. Now, if you had to choose Barry Laminack, would you choose Sunday Night Football on NBC, or would you choose Monday Night Football on ESPN?
What do you mean? The broadcast?
To work for, yeah. Oh, you could work for either one.
Probably Monday Night Football on ESPN.
Really? Why?
It's more of a staple amongst football fans. Probably more exposure.
I really think
you can get on more things through ESPN than you could NBC Sports.
But I think that it's cable versus national TV. I think that because I totally hear you. In our childhood growing up, Monday Night Football was the bomb. It was everything, and everybody looked forward to it. I think it's kind of been handed off and switched gears, and a lot of it because the NFL gives them better games. But I think Sunday Night Football, for a lot of reasons, has overtaken Monday Night Football, but neither here nor there. This is the reason why I say that, and this is a really strange deal. We were constantly throwing out names of guys and who might, you know, be the next analyst and do all these things, and they were all retired players. The NFL has just announced through NFL channels, NBC has reached agreement with Drew Brees in signing him to NBC Sports to a contract over ESPN that is going to make him a full-time fixture on NFL telecasts after he finishes playing. So NBC says, like all NFL fans, we look forward to watching Drew Brees continue his Hall of Fame career this fall, and we're confident his post-playing career is going to be just as successful. They see him as the heir apparent to Chris Collinsworth. Okay. They said he will start on Notre Dame football as an analyst and a studio analyst for Football Night in America. I'm telling you, if I'm Drew Brees, that's an awesome deal.
Oh, yeah, it's outstanding because there's no pressure on when you leave and what you're going to do when you're done. And it's smart by NBC to lock him up now as opposed to waiting and then have him jumping ship or going somewhere else. I think the interesting thing that I'd like to see is how much longer does NBC have on their contract for Sunday Night Football versus
so the
when
article
we think
covers
Drew
that.
Brees is going to hang it up and become a part of the team.
Right. So the article kind of covers that. But again, a lot of indications were he's going to play one more and be one and done. That's what a lot of people, even Sean Payton was hinting at that. But it says the move by NBC has been made in part to solidify its announcing group as all the networks head into negotiations with the NFL for the next TV rights agreement. NBC could possibly add a second NFL night package, which would allow Brees and Collinsworth each to be number ones on a given night. If not, Brees will be in the on-deck circle whenever Collinsworth is done.
Well, that's the next variable is now, you know, Collinsworth, I mean, unless they're already in talks with him, but I don't know how much is left on his contract or when he wants to hang it up.
Yeah, it's you know what? I don't know how I feel about that if I'm Collinsworth, because he's established himself. And sure, there are, just like anything else, there are critics. But I think overall, people like Chris Collinsworth. They appreciate what he brings to the table. I don't know. I'm not going to speak for you or anybody else, but I think that there are more positives than negatives with him. But yeah, do you look over your shoulder now and say, man, I mean, they already got, you know, my replacement signed up.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean,
because if you enjoy doing
the writing's on the wall at this point.
Well, John Madden and Al Michaels have proved to you that you can do it forever.
Yep.
So if you want to, I mean, and now it leaves ESPN holding the bag yet again after failing with Romo and with Peyton Manning. Now they failed with Drew Brees. And I don't know if you heard this or not, but now in their effort to replace both Joe Tessitore and Booger McFarland, which I didn't know Tessitore was a guy that was possibly on the cutting block. Steve Levy, who's already on staff with them, is considered a strong candidate for play-by-play, as well as some of their other ESPN play-by-play guys. And on the analyst side, they are considering Dan Orlovsky, Lewis Riddick, and Brian Griese, and possibly Kurt Warner.
Oof. No, please no Brian Griese or Kurt Warner. I think Lewis Riddick might do pretty well, and I do not need to see or hear Steve Levy doing play-by-play.
I'm with you on all of that. And then they said, or maybe NFL Network's Nate Burleson. I'll pass on that too. And I think Riddick
keep
Tessitore
and just add Riddick. I'm good with
that. But I don't. Do you think Riddick could carry the load completely, or does it need to be a three-person booth with someone? I mean, I guess he brings both sides to the equation because his communication skills are great, and he knows both front office and he played. So, yeah, I guess I like Lewis Riddick. I want him to be a part of it. I just don't know if he'd be the main guy.
Oh, I think he could. I think he once he had some reps. It's like anything in this business, man. You know, the doing what we do, it just takes reps. So getting some reps and pairing up with Joe Tessitore, I think that would be way better because I don't need some of those other
cats. From the sound of this, though, it sounds like they're already moving on from Tessitore too.
Yeah, that sucks. He wasn't bad.
Yeah, he was bad. All right, we'll continue to roll on. We've got a half hour to go on the show before we turn it over to the Blitz, so we got 30 minutes on the clock when we come back. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects on an FEF Friday, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you. And that other stuff, too.
What is the rubber? That is the rubber. Your rubber is a rubber. Rubber is a rubber.
And then you go, yo.
Yo.
So like, right. Wait, I think he said, what's that? Hold on. Now, what is he trying to say about society?
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarrara.
Hey, final half hour of the show on an FBI Friday on The Usual Suspects. It's Barry and myself, Nick, taking a day off. Not on the schedule. Aaron Raybould doing us the pleasure of joining us for the final 2 hours, Dellhead Hour number one. So if you missed any of the show, please go back and listen to the podcast. We were talking about a lot of things, Barry, including the fact that Adam Schefter was on all over Van Pelt last night as well, in the fact that he caught a ton of heat from even non-sports guys for the tweet that I read yesterday on air, which says that in preparing for the draft, all the people that he talked to around college football fully expect there to be a season. And there were people lambasting him, and he was like, I'm not political, I'm not trying to get anybody's ire up, I'm just telling you what I've heard from multiple sources. To that point, Paul Feinbaum had Lane Kiffin on today, and Lane Kiffin, who has basically solidified his place under the list of jackass in a lot of ways for a lot of his actions during the course of his career, had a quote that makes some sense about if there's going to be a college football season and if it would be a problem with everybody getting ready. And he said, even if we lose practice time, summer camp, and everything, if it's all the same for everybody, it's all the same. It allows us to stay on schedule for the season, and I think it would be the best for everyone. And I think he makes a great point. As long as it's, you know, a clean slate and it's fair across the board, whether you're Florida Atlantic or you're Alabama, then as long as you're dealing, everybody's dealing with the same variables, I say go for it.
Yeah, that's the thing, is nobody's getting a head start or more practice or an advantage, a significant advantage over any of the other teams. So I'm with you. Now, I think the concern that has to be weighed is injuries and, you know, being unprepared. How does that affect play, and would it lead to more injuries or issues on the field? But if they can figure that out, then I'm with you. It's all the same. Everybody's on. It's a level playing field. So,
By the way, and stop copying us, NBA. The NBA is out there doing a live chat with Rudy Tomjanovich before the Game 7 tonight.
Oh, that's good.
And they allowed questions, and someone said, don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion. Was that something you came up with on your own, and how did you hear that, or did you hear it from someone else? We've been there, done that. We already had that this week, okay?
So we appreciate
you listening to the show.
I'm just happy that Rudy's finally getting his just due and getting the publicity that he so well deserves.
Yeah, I would never argue that. You know that. Yeah. So that is great. But you know what? Get some original questions. You already had the answer if you're a suspect. We already had that early in the week when we had Rudy on. So other than that, as I kind of scan the globe to see about other things that we haven't yet chatted about, we mentioned the fact that the NBA now, they're going to pay their players for the April 15th. Also, they are going to, as a league, they've gotten together and basically are unanimous in the fact that they'd like to push the draft now, which is normally late in June, to August 1st or later to ensure that, one, that they have the opportunity to finish the season, and two, that it doesn't get in the way, because that would be pretty awkward if you think about it, that you have your draft in June, but you may not pick up the rest of the season and or the playoffs in terms of planning for what you may need, you know, roster-wise, what you're going to have salary cap-wise. You know, you might have an injury. You might have someone leaving during free agency. And then, you know, and even from a draft perspective, taking these young kids, the fact that just like NFL's dealing with right now, everything's going to have to be done via video chat and via workouts on, you know, video streaming services. It's not exactly what the way the league would want to operate anyway.
Yeah, it's not ideal circumstances, but hell, nobody's operating under ideal circumstances. I mean, look at us. We're doing radio from opposite ends of the city with somebody in the middle. So yeah, they could make do. They could figure it out. It's sports. I think we have to keep all of that in perspective. That at the end of the day,
and I think
as long as this doesn't affect you know, the real issues that we face, then you know they'll figure it out.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that the bigger issue is I don't even think it gets down to the interview process and the workouts. I think it's more centered around the fact that they want the opportunity to finish the season. And even from a draft perspective, you know, the draft order could change based on if they finish the regular season, unless they go with the idea that I threw out there of just starting the playoffs. You know, if you do finish the regular season, the Rockets are sixth. But who's to say in the final 18 games they couldn't move up to 5 or 4?
Yeah, because so, it was close. That's going to be the kicker. Anybody that wins, there's going to be somebody that yells asterisk, right? There's going to be somebody that says, we could have.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean,
so you never that'll be know. Interesting. The other interesting story that I saw, there's a couple of them, and one of the ones that really caught my eye was that the former bodyguard and security guard for Boogie Cousins, Rajon Rondo, and Draymond Green has passed away the coronavirus.
Oh, damn. That's sad.
Yeah, so I mean, there's another one that, you know, from a player's perspective, it'll impact you because of the fact that, you know, he was a good guy by all means. Everybody thought highly of him, and he passed away, and it doesn't seem like he was too old of a guy. So, you know, it's everywhere. And like you said, I mean, when you started thinking about it, what'd you say it was the leading cause of death in the United States?
On a daily basis right now, coronavirus is killing more people than heart disease, which was the number one, and cancer, which was number two. The coronavirus has passed both of those per day. Man. Yeah, pretty crazy. Speaking of the NBA, though, and athletes and the coronavirus, there was an article that came out that says that I'll just read you the headline. Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell relationship, quote, doesn't appear salvageable.
Really?
Yeah.
Now that's amazing to me, too, because, you know, I guess I just looked at it from the standpoint. I knew that there was some ruffled feathers that people had talked about because of how flippant Gobert was about, you know, getting the virus, then he got it, and then, you know, touching other players' stuff and things like that. But, wow, I wouldn't think that it would be insurmountable that they couldn't, you know, it, you know, wouldn't be like a Chris Paul, James Harden situation. But, man, it sounds like it.
Yeah, The Athletic had this story, and apparently after, like you said, he was so nonchalant and almost mocking the whole coronavirus thing. And then once Donovan Mitchell tested positive, they said that the source said that Mitchell was, you know, still hasn't forgiven Gobert, and And even took swipes at him on his, I guess, his Instagram account. So that's, I mean, you know, how would you feel? Let's say this. Let's say I show up to the station and I have coronavirus and I'm making a mockery of it and I'm touching all the microphones and then you and Nick get it. Y'all are going to be pissed at me.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And then because now I'm you know, your wife could get it, your kids could get it, Nick, you know, could take it home to his family. Like, that becomes an issue outside of just you and me and the health risk that the two of us face. So I could see where I'd be like, you know, it, and because it's one thing if you have it and you just don't, but you don't know or whatever. But if you make up, if you mock it like Rudy Gobert did, that's all, boy. I don't know that he's ever going to recover from that. I think anytime anybody looks at him from now on, that's what you think.
I don't disagree with that. And I think that you're not just talking about Donovan Mitchell. There has to be plenty of guys in that locker room that would have been pissed off. And not just from their own personal standpoint, but like you said, families with small children, the fact that, you know, in the time that they were actually in quarantine and had to go through everything that they went through, you know, how that affected, like, on a domino effect of, you know, other people around them and other things. So I think you're right. I think he is labeled, and good thing he got his contract and his money, because people forget he was a journeyman for a lot of years until he ended up being the MVP of the Summer League and then just skyrocketed with the Jazz to the point where he became the Defensive Player of the Year. Then they signed him long term. But when you think about this, I go back to that Chris Paul, James Harden thing, because you're going to have Jazz fans and otherwise that are like, yeah, they'll get over it. Joe Ingles is in here saying he's confident that it'll all pass over and be fine again. You can say that all you want, but at the end of the day, all it takes is one player scorn, if not both of them. And unless they're both totally willing to sit down and work it out and be amicable about the situation, it's going to end badly. It's going to end badly for the Jazz, and one, if not both of those guys are going elsewhere. And I think of the two, you're not getting rid of Donovan Mitchell.
Mm-mm. Nope. He brings too much to the table. I mean,
not to mention the fact he didn't do this. He dealt with it.
Right. Well, and also, when you think about it, this is a guard-heavy league. You need a guy that can, you know, hang with the likes of Dame and Steph and James and, you know, Russ and
a guard heavy league. It is a
Western
offensive guard forward dominated sport. You know, we used to have the days of Ewing and Olajuwon and all the, you know, the good teams had a big man. Now you're right. I mean, if you don't have 3-point shooters and athletes that can score at the rim and get up in transition, you got nothing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was shocking to me to hear that. I thought that they'd eventually get over it, but you know, again, maybe that, you know, all the kidding in the world, if one person doesn't think it's funny, I guess obviously, it could have a negative impact.
If they wouldn't have got it, I think it would have never been an issue, but that's the problem. And I don't think, Rudy Gobert intentionally got anybody sick. I think he was trying to make light of a situation.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't taking it serious. But it just snowballs once everyone around you starts getting sick and you're making a joke and a mockery of it. And then now,
that everybody was believing
the severity of it, and it just makes it worse.
Well, when you hear the president and everybody else downplaying it from the get go, saying it's not going to be anything and it's going to be gone in a matter of days or a week or two.
No, he didn't. That was the World Health Organization. That was everybody else. He didn't say that. He never said that. Don't you listen to him contradict himself on a nightly basis, Joel? Come on now.
Corona. Very Corona.
Yeah, I told Nora, you can always tell when Trump isn't reading what someone wrote for him, because there's a lot of varies. He just starts saying, we've got a very, very good, very, very, very big stimulus package. Our stimulus package is a great, great, very great, very, very great stimulus package. It's one of the greatest stimulus packages in the history of stimulus. It's like, bro, just look, put your head down and read. Please stop going off script. It doesn't work well. You can always tell when he goes off script. And for as wealthy as the man is and as powerful as he is, boy, he comes off as a little uneducated sometimes. It's like, do you know any other words besides great and very?
Okay. So we'll give you one last chance to stimulate your package.
Stimulate your package?
And take a break. And we'll come back and wrap it up. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
We will fight. listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sharara.
Final segment of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We wrap it up, put a bow on it, turn it over to the Blitz. Fred, AJ, and Aaron will take you home till 7 on ESPN 97.5. Good show, good week, guys. Barry, your thoughts? We talked a little bit about Dana White this week and getting an island and, you know, making sure that UFC 249 went off without a hitch and other events that he had scheduled fairly frequently in the future, and now in a complete 180, which then it comes out was due to some, shall we say, highly encouraging or forceful thinking by Disney ESPN, they've changed their course. Now UFC 249 is off and all other events postponed.
Yeah, they basically asked him to stand down. That was his exact words. And so he did, because he realizes that's a pretty powerful partnership that you've managed to get the UFC from what it was to what it is. And you don't want to start upsetting Disney and ESPN and the money that they have to back you. And I think he even said, hey, whenever my partners give me the thumbs up that they're ready, I'm ready. He did say Fight Island is going to be a thing. He's not going away from Fight Island, which, you know, it's not an awful idea. But the only problem is, how are you going to get people down there? But I don't think you can do it on a regular basis. You still need to go to the people. But every so often to have a have a fight on Fight Island might be a pretty cool thing, especially.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I would say you can't do it consistently. But if you do want to do like Big Brother, is that the – no, not Big Brother. What's the one? Survivor. If you want to do like Survivor and play it up, and every so often – and like you said, do giveaways and have – like a very intimate setting for just VIPs and people that have won contests or otherwise, I think it has some potential.
Oh, yeah. I do, too. There's a lot of stuff you could do with it. You could do a reality show. You know, you could do fights from there where you have a pay-per-view from Fight Island. And, you know, because what was that? What was the failed music Ja Rule was involved in it. It was some big festival.
Oh, right. The big
Fire
music festival.
Fest or something like that. Was it supposed to be
Fire the Fest? Next version of Woodstock.
Fire Fest.
And so people were lined up to go down there. So if you did something like that, because you know the UFC is not going to bungle it like Ja Rule did. So you do a Fire Fest version of for MMA. And people would sign up and go down there for that, for one. Boy, could you imagine how many Ed Hardy and Affliction shirts would be on that plane?
Oh, man.
Good Lord. The jeans with white threading would be – you'd be unable to count how many were on there. The whole plane would smell like Dracar. It would just be a flying tube of Dracar and spiked hair and hair gel and maybe probably some leather wristbands in there a little bit. But, yeah, I think that would be a cool thing. I think they should look into that, which I know he's doing. But I think as a as an alternative to what they're doing, not a bad idea.
Yeah, and also for as much as bravado and you know, hard-headedness as Dana can put out there, I think it's obviously the wise decision, because the platform that he's gotten with the ESPN deal and the fact that, you know, from a weekly basis they're getting coverage and extra promotion and even promoting the pay-per-view portions of everything as a marketing tool and an entity that helps the overall brand, that's just, he made the right move there. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, and look, Dana's no dummy. Don't get it twisted. He may be a hard head and a hard ass and a macho dude who talks a lot of smack, but he's no dummy when it comes to business. And he's not going to do something that would cause his business harm. So he's doing the right things.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So until further notice, no more UFC. So again, another sport goes by the wayside as we scratch and claw looking for anything that can keep us entertained without live sports.
We've always got Bill O'Brien, baby. Keeping sports radio alive, seriously? In the city of Houston.
You think about this, from the first week of the pandemic to even the end of this week, he really does. We can joke about it, but he gave us a full week 2 weeks back, and it's the gift that just keeps on giving. Unfortunately, it just keeps giving heartburn and indigestion to all Texans fans, but the rest of the league and the people that cover it are just – they're absolutely head over heels happy for it.
Bill O'Brien saved quarantine for the city of Houston Sports Talk. From a sports talk perspective, I know he's ruined the Texans season. He's ruined the Texans franchise. But as far as having something to talk about for us and listeners to listen to, hey, he's the best in the NFL at that. As a content creator, Bill O'Brien, man, he should be a social media influencer because boy, he's good at creating content. It's just, you know, the ramifications of that content later on are really going to suffer.
No doubt. And did you see this just in passing? Todd Gurley tweeted the other day, because as you, if you don't know by now, that he was released by the Rams, picked up by the Falcons. He tweeted the other day to the Rams, said, "Past due, send me my money ASAP." And, you know, everybody was just like, yeah, he's probably just kidding. No, Clay Matthews Jr., who was also cut, responded, "You and me both, TG, better get some interest with that too." They both then came forward and said they had yet to get their checks with their money and payments that they are due, regardless of whether they were on the Rams roster or not. The Rams saying that they are following the protocol and are in the right. But then Gurley finally commented at Rams, "Thanks for the check today." So it looks like he got they got the message and he got the check.
It's hilarious. Yeah, it is a bad look. I saw somebody in that thread when Gurley posted to be like, "Hey, bro, this is what your agent is for. This is a bad look. Don't do this publicly." Can you believe that's a world we live in? Could you ever imagine back in the day, Earl Campbell? "Hey, Oilers, where's my money?" Like, I don't know how he would do it. I guess he would have to get a billboard. Because there was social media back when Earl played. But, you know, he'd have a billboard, or he would probably go to, like, Ed Fowler and get him to post something in the news, or I don't know.
Well, the biggest difference is back in the day, the methods of communication was a rotary phone or a letter.
Yeah.
And now all you got to do is put something on social media, and just like that, actions taken, problem solved.
Yep.
So – very crazy stuff. All right, my friend, you have yourself a great weekend.
You too, bud.
Hopefully all the suspects will as well. And we'll turn it over
be
to
safe,
the Blitz
y'all.
Before we do that. Yeah, everybody be safe, stay healthy, be smart. If we just do this for a little while longer, it's in everybody's best interest. Speaking of things that are in everybody's best interest, I do want to tell you about Apollo Men's Health, because I know that there are guys out there that are having a lot of struggles right now in terms of finding the energy at home all day, trying to keep up with the family, maybe the kids, maybe working out, and you just can't find the energy you once had. Also, that might be a problem in the bedroom. Well, there's a company out there and a business that is here to help. It's Apollo Men's Health. They're located in Pearland and in Lake Jackson, and they are the best in the business at taking care of finding you that energy you're missing. It's if you have low testosterone, they have traditional testosterone therapy. They also have cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy. When you're dealing with the coronavirus and elements like we're dealing with right now where you're encouraged to stay home, you probably don't want to be out and about every single week getting treatments. Well, if you do pellet testosterone therapy, it reduces your weekly visits but maintains your overall wellness and your energy levels. They also do body composition analysis, HGH peptide therapy. Everything they do increases your overall quality of life. Give them a call. Check it out for yourself. 832-664-9966. Go to their website, apollomh.com. Right there on the website, you can book your first appointment. Most major insurance accepted, and discounts for military personnel and first responders. Check out Apollo Men's Health. Check out the Blitz. They're coming up next. ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.